The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. A few days ago, I received a letter from Cardinal DiNardo, who asked that it be read at all the masses today. He begins by saying, "Dear Father, given the importance of Super Bowl Sunday, I kindly ask you to remind the faithful of your parish that praying for a Hail Mary pass at the last minute of the game so their team will win does not fulfill their Sunday obligation." No, wait, that's the wrong letter. There's another one. Here it is. Okay, that was a private one. The public letter. I'll read that in a minute. But let's give some foundation to what Cardinal DiNardo will say by reflecting a bit on the Gospel of the Mass. Luke chapter 5, the call of Peter, this beautiful scene in the Gospel where the first of the apostles responds to the invitation of Christ and learns to trust him. A couple details in this scene deserve our special attention today. One is one of those details that helps to underscore the historical nature of this event, that it really happened. You know, it lends an air of authenticity. Sometimes one can read or hear in television programs or heard it bandied about the idea that the Gospels were written many, many, many generations after Christ, that much of it was made up, or that it's imagination, or that it's just kind of a pious collection of pious stories. All of that is utter nonsense. As St. Paul said in that beautiful second reading today, he is passing on what he himself has received. And that's what the Gospel writers do under the influence of the Holy Spirit. They are passing on what they have received, and in most cases, what they've seen and heard with their own eyes and ears. They're passing it down to us and to all generations of Christians so that we can have the benefit, if not hearing the words of Christ literally firsthand, we can hear them in our own day and age. And they're just as fresh and just as powerful. And what is that detail in this gospel? Well, it's the fact that St. Luke describes how Jesus got out into the boat. You notice he didn't ask Simon Peter about it. He got into the boat in order to address the crowds. Why would he do such a thing? And why does this lend an authentic air to this scene of the gospel? Well, this took place, you know, in Galilee, on the Sea of Galilee. Here it's called the Lake of Gennesaret. In the other parts of the Bible, it's called the Sea of Tiberias. They're all three different names for the same body of water. which is in the northern part of Israel, in the region of Galilee. Capernaum is just on the northern shore. Nazareth is to the west, several miles. Cana is also in that area. This is the place where Jesus grew up, humanly speaking, and this is where his public ministry began, where he did much of his preaching and performed many of his miracles. And here he was by the side of that same lake, preaching to the crowds who were hemming in on him, wanting to get close to him so they could hear him. The crowds were so large. And so in order to make it possible for those assembled people to hear his voice, Jesus gets in the boat and they pull a little bit off of shore, off the shore of the sea. How does that help the people who are on land to hear him? Well, anyone who's been fishing on a lake or a pond when it's still knows that one of the first rules of fishing in that environment is no talking, no iPhones or iPods playing music, complete silence. Why? Because when the water is calm, it acts as a megaphone. One's voice, any kind of noise, will travel over the surface of the water, scaring the fish away. One will be wasting their time if they go out to fish and they spend their whole time talking and listening to music. No fish will take a bite off of their hook. No one will be tempted because they will all flee from that sound. Well, on this occasion, the Lord uses that knowledge in the boat by getting into the boat and speaking, projecting his voice so that it bounces off the water, and the water being a kind of megaphone, and then it's amplified and spread out to the people who are gathered along the shore in this place. If we go to Galilee today, this scene is commemorated in a place where the hills, very shallow hills leading up to the water, form a kind of natural amphitheater. And so people could sit on the edge of the hill, on the grass. Jesus could speak to them in a few yards from the shore. His voice would bounce off of the water, and they would be able to hear him. So if someone were making this up, that little detail would undoubtedly have been left out, would not have even been thought of. So it's good that when we're reading the gospel or hearing the gospel, that we pay attention to these little details, because they often are indicators to us of the historic character of the various events. We should never doubt that these events took place as they are described. But perhaps more importantly, the second point that deserves our reflection today is St. Peter's reaction to what Jesus asks of him. So after finishing his discourse, the Lord turns to Simon. His name has not yet been changed to Peter. Says, Simon, put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch. They were in the shallow part of the lake near the shore. Jesus says, go out. He's going to reward Peter. He spent all night toiling away. He's tired. He didn't get any fish in. This is how he makes his living. And so it's going to be a kind of a meager day, maybe a meager week, with no product to sell to those who would normally buy his fish. And so Peter says, well, Master, at your word, I will lower the net. He's already learned to call Jesus Master. He's just met him. This guy kind of commandeers his boat, but Peter clearly was mesmerized and deeply impressed by the words that Jesus spoke, which are not recorded here. And this obviously brings about a kind of change of mind and heart for Peter, or awakens in him this understanding that God is with this man. What is going on? But he recognizes that because of that, whatever Jesus of Nazareth says to him, he's going to do. So he says, Master, at your word, I will lower the nets. And they sail out a little bit. He and his crew lower the nets into the water, and they pull in this huge haul of fish. They need two boats to contain it all. So that's a mighty reward for Peter's generosity to Christ. How does that relate to what the cardinal has to say in his letter today, which, by the way, is reprinted in the bulletin for your convenience? Well, let's read it and see. My dear friends in Christ, our Holy Father Pope Francis called for a jubilee year, the Holy Year of Mercy, which began December the 8th. He asks that we live this holy year in the light of Jesus' words in the Gospel of Luke, Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Mercy is born from love. St. Paul reminds us that God is rich in mercy, and because of his great love for us, he saves us by grace. Indeed, God's mercy is revealed in creation and in the gift of salvation. Pope Francis gives us a beautiful image of the mercy of God by describing Jesus Christ as the face of the Father's mercy. As we contemplate the face of mercy as revealed in Jesus Christ, we cannot fail to heed his words, to recognize him in the face of the poor, the immigrant, and those on the margins of society. Reaching out in love and mercy demands personal sacrifice and often entails challenges, particularly when we need to reach out to those we don't know, but who desperately require our assistance. Through the Diocesan Services Fund, the DSF, we are presented with a unique opportunity to extend our hand of kindness to the thousands of people who are served through the more than 60 programs that comprise DSF. I am pleased to tell you that DSF is now in its 50th year, a half century of sharing and caring throughout the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston. It was started by Bishop Morkowski in 1966 and further expanded to meet the needs of an ever-growing archdiocese by Archbishop Joseph Fiorenza. Recently, you received our first DSF newsletter, which described in detail many of the ministries covered and sustained through DSF. It mentioned that the poor, the sick, the elderly, and those who are disabled or incarcerated are among those who are served through a variety of DSF programs. Funds from DSF also make it possible to prepare our young people for the sacraments, recruit priests and others seeking to live the consecrated life, and to offer lifelong religious education to all parishioners. Through our participation in acts of mercy, we stay connected with one another. The Diocesan Services Fund program is a visible manifestation of our connectedness as members of this local church. On this 50th anniversary of its founding, I would like to express my profound appreciation to all who have contributed to this program. I encourage you to proclaim the enduring mercy of God by considering a generous gift for this 2016 DSF appeal. With gratitude for your support and prayerful best wishes, I remain your faithful shepherd, Daniel Cardinal DiNardo, Archbishop of Galveston, Houston. Well, as you know, this time of the year, every year, Cardinal makes an appeal to all the Catholics of the Archdiocese to participate in the Diocesan Services Fund. Why? Well, because as a parish, we're able to do some things on our own. Every parish provides opportunities for religious education, of course, the worship of God and the sacraments, service to the homebound and to the sick, and many other works and apostolates that are essential. But there are some things that one parish cannot do all by themselves. And so once a year, the Cardinal asks us, all 150 or so parishes, to come together, unite our efforts, so that we can provide the means by which, the material means by which, the whole church in this region can serve those who are poor, who are sick, who are in need of chaplains in prison or in hospitals or at the Port of Houston, to provide the means for formation for priests and for religious, for formation and education and for catechists and religious educators, to provide help and support for those who are seeking an annulment of a marriage that has come to an end, for many, many different kind of direct service to the poor, the needy, the sick, and the suffering. And the DSF, while it may not sound very romantic by itself, when we consider the way in which these funds and this offering is used, gives each of us the possibility of extending the charity and the mercy of Christ to those around us and those who need it the most. If you're registered in the parish, you received this past week a letter from the Cardinal, this very letter, together with an envelope similar to the ones that are in your pews, and simply an appeal asking you to make a pledge for this year in addition to your generous support of the parish. And if for some reason that letter was inadvertently thrown away or misplaced or just in the confusion leading up to the Super Bowl somehow got used as a trivet under the nacho cheese dip and so is not usable anymore, we have one in the pew for you. Feel free to take it home. I'm not asking you to make a pledge today, but I'm asking you to think about it and to pray about it. There's one difference this year in the DSF in our parish in St. Elizabeth's, and that is we will not be having a monthly collection for the DSF, which has been the practice in previous years. The only support that will come from the parish will be through our personal pledge and gift that we make through the envelopes that are provided either through the mail or here in the church. Because as you know, I've tried to eliminate all these extra collections. I know so many people are sad about that. But there will not be a monthly collection for the DSF. The Cardinal will be relying upon our pledge. And so let me encourage you to try to make a generous and wholehearted commitment to this work. How is that related to this gospel, we may ask? It's an excellent question. Well, I think we need to think of our pledge, our material gift, our charity, the use of the gifts God has given us through the Diocesan Services Fund as a kind of net, as a kind of net that is extended into the sea of the world to take in as many, not fish, but as many souls in need as possible. We can't do that by ourselves. We can do it at some level by ourselves, but we can't do it on a large scale by ourselves. One parish can't do it on a large scale by themselves. We all need to come together. And just as in most societies today, there's a kind of social safety net that is knit together by various laws that govern social services of one kind to serve those who are most in need, the DSF is a kind of spiritual safety net because it's fertilized with prayer and with sacrifice and is made manifest through our own charity and our merciful giving. So I would ask you, as you consider how to give this year, to kind of place yourselves, and I'm doing this for myself too, so I include myself in that equation. We need to try to place ourselves in the boat with Jesus and with Peter and his crew. And having listened to the words of the Lord, he now asks something of us, just as he asked of Peter. And he asked Peter really to be open to his blessing by going out and doing this work. Through that work, Peter would find blessing, and he finds it in a very literal way through this large haul of fish. But what Peter needed to do was first to listen to Christ, but also then he had to trust him. Trust him that that work of labor, that extension of his effort, would bear fruit in a way that God wanted, in a way that God expected. So if we're in the boat with Peter and with Jesus, we've heard him speak of the importance of charity and service and concern for the poor, the needy, the sick, the lonely, the incarcerated, all those who may have any need. He knows that we can't serve everybody, but we can try our best to serve as many as the Lord puts in our path. And what is our net? Well, it's woven together by small little threads of our pledges and our contributions. Some of us are able to give a large rope, others maybe a thin thread, but it's all given with the same generosity of heart and spirit, and it can all be woven together with the gifts from other parishes so that a large net can be created that can then be used to bring in these souls who may have never met Christ, but through our generosity they can be helped to come to know Christ through our charity. And so the question for us will be, if the Lord is asking us to do this, how will we respond? What will we do? And will we help to weave that net and to cast it into the sea and to bring in a large school of souls or not?
I believe in one God.